Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is Robert A. Wilson with Cowboy Wisdom, NLI Radio. And the NLI stands for Neuro-Linguistic Innovation. And tonight I want to introduce you to Terry Collison. She's an author of the Bipolar Workshop, and she was going to expand your mind about bipolar, but also show you some new ways to handle bipolar either in your life or somebody you know. Without any further ado, I want to welcome Terry to the show. Welcome, Terry.
Thank you so much for letting me be here today, Rob. Really appreciate that.
Well, it's always my honor and privilege. So, Terry, tell us a little bit about the Bipolar Workshop and the book and what everything goes on with that.
Well, what I did was I went and took nonfiction information about bipolar disorder, and I put it into the book. And after each chapter, because it's so important, I wrote in there for people to go and say things that I learned about bipolar disorder. So you would be writing down the information that you learned from that chapter, plus you add in all the things that you already know about bipolar disorder, and then you carry on. So every chapter, you're basically reiterating what you've already learned. Then what I did was, there's so much repeated exposure going on. It really bothers me that people aren't understanding what it is that's going on that causes these people to have such a rage of emotion. And there was the Colorado shooting, there was the Sandy Hook Elementary School thing that went on, and people aren't understanding that when people have the chemical imbalance and they're not medicated, and for every physically traumatic or emotionally traumatic event, their levels of emotion go more, right? So when you have something continually happening to you for more than a two-week period, it constitutes as repeated exposure, which then creates anxieties, right? When it comes to, as an example, one of the things that really bothers me is I'll go into a restaurant or any kind of public place, and the automatic habit of every single person in that office, restaurant, whatever, is to stare. They turn their heads and they all look at the person coming in, and I have this problem about people staring at me too long. It's because I've been stared at so much, like I had this dog. As ridiculous as it sounds, right? These are how repeated exposure creates anxieties. It may seem like little things, and you're like, what do you mean? How can you have repeated exposure anxieties about people staring at you because of a dog? When you have an animal that's staring at you almost 24 hours a day, every day of the week, it becomes very bothersome, and then it affects your other parts of your life. So what I did was I went and wrote fictional stories about bipolar disorder, about these people and their repeated exposure experiences and how their rage becomes out of control. And at the end of each story, I want people to write, you know, the signs of bipolar disorder and possible treatment. I have about four stories. And the tricky thing is that unless you're paying attention, you don't know that person has bipolar disorder, or that person's rage of emotion or the levels of happiness are all due to a chemical imbalance from the amount of physically traumatic and emotionally traumatic events that have occurred in their life. And then what I did was, because I've read so many self-help books, I mean, I've gone through 5 years of counseling, I've read outdated psychology textbooks, because you got to get your range of emotion under control, right? We just can't all go flying off the handle like most of the world is right now. And the whole purpose of the workshop, like the bipolar workshop, is that I want people to be better, right? This world needs to change. This world needs to wake up and say, hey, you know, the things, these emotions that are just flying everywhere, it's a reason. Right? And through a fictional story about people taking workshops about how to maintain a relationship or having a better relationship, that's how I would how I presented it. And after each chapter of those workshops, I have it so that people write down what you learned in that workshop. Because of the information that I'm providing in a fictional setting, I can't go and tell you all the books I've read, because if I'm to give you all the books I've read, then I will have to pay each publishing house a whole bunch of money. So I weave it into a fictional story, hoping that everybody will learn from the workshop and these people, fictional characters, that when they finish the book, they're going to be able to communicate with people better. They understand what love is. They understand, you know, how we can help each other and make this world a better place.
And, you know, that's the thing. People are really, wouldn't you feel, Terry, people are really afraid to talk about their own challenges? They'd rather put up with them than look at them?
For myself, when I'm listening, or as an example, like you're seeing on Facebook, when people are talking about their things, they don't quite realize, you know, the problem that they're having is almost like it's always coming up, right? Like I have, like in the past year, I have overcome so many anxieties that you just kind of go, wow, right? Because when we really push ourselves forward and we want to be better, we will get better. I went from not being, feeling comfortable, having anxieties about the word free, to creating and uploading ebooks, paperback books, the amount of cost that it would do, or like how much it costs to do it, to going and being traditionally published, to realizing that's not what I want at all, and it did not work out, to being self-published, and I'm doing everything myself now. And that in itself is an absolute miracle.
And see, but the thing about this all is you had the will and the courage to look in the mirror and diagnose, but overcome your own challenge with your own wisdom, wouldn't you feel, with the help of other people's?
Yes. Yeah. If you have a nice support group, right, and you're able to talk about the things that are bothering you, and nobody's going to judge you on, like, you know, as, like, on, as some people might judge the pettiness of the anxiety of because of the repeated exposure, but if you're working together and you want to be better, as soon as that trigger, like, say, for example, you know, when I go into a restaurant, right, I make sure I'm not in front, I'm at the back, I look around, I find the safe table, and I make for it, you know, and then I try not to notice, right, and this is my capacity of dealing with these kinds of things, and for other people, if you're able to acknowledge your trigger, right, if you get really upset when you see Aunt Henrietta, right, and you realize that this is my trigger, right? Because every time I see her, she always says certain things in a certain way, and it just sets you off. And so if you're able to recognize that's your trigger, and when that person starts doing their little, you know, thing, you can stop yourself from rising to their level and getting that rage of emotion going. You stop yourself and you say, this is the way they are, right? This is how they act. I don't like this behavior, right? I will not rise to this. Why? Because I know I'm better than this, right? These people that are running around chemically imbalanced, their emotional levels are, you know, just out of this world. They're up one minute, down the next, happy as clams, angry at the snow that's falling. These are all people who have the chemical imbalance. They all have the mental illness DNA. And there's so many. Like, there's like something like 8.6 million Americans who have, you know, have a type of mental illness, because there's such a range of bipolar disorder and the mental health issue that we really have to step up as, you know, people and come together and say, look, we need to change, right? Change is important. we can't all be running around with our, you know, these emotional ranges. You know, it's completely unproductive.
Well, that's the thing. We're too stuck in old patterns to expand right now, I feel. And the whole world is stuck in everything they read in a book. They don't have the imagination to move forward. How do you feel about that, Terry?
Well, I think that on a whole, people do not have a large capacity to sit down and read a 200-page book or nonfiction book about bipolar disorder. A lot of people have challenges to even read a fictional novel that's 200 pages long. It's because the time, the capacity, the chemical imbalance, the repeated exposure, all of these things come into play with this inability to sit down and read something that's going to improve their life. People are very visual, right? You get on, you see it on TV, you see somebody talking about it, you see the TV shows, they're, you know, playing their news or their, you know, programs, and people are more receptive to that than they would be to actually reading. It's a rather sad state to be in, but if we can just, you know, do a start with, you know, start somewhere and work our way forward, that would be the best.
You know, that's the thing. It's about the word expand, and I use that all the time. I don't even use the word change. We got to expand out of our current situations, but the bipolar workshop's available on createspace.com, amazon.com, and it's an ebook form on amazon.com. It's written by Terry Callison. It's TerriCallison, and you can go to our Facebook pages, and you can also go to our website. It's tlctouchedwithfire.wordpress.com. And if anybody has any questions or want to talk with Terry, the number is 718-305-6548 to ask Terry questions. And Terry, when you started opening your eyes and started experiencing the bipolar and started understanding it, how did that open your other parts of your life up?
Well, when I started reading these self-help books and going to counseling and becoming aware of the different selves, right? Like in the bipolar workshop, I talk about the different selves. Like one self of me is I'm a mother, I'm a daughter, I'm a wife, I'm a friend, I'm an author, and each one of my selves interacts differently. And that is one of the biggest things that I found, is that because I acknowledged each of myself, right, and how I acted, I was able to get myself under control. And having the interior health counseling, it did help, right? But I would like to think that even though the book, The Bipolar Workshop, isn't a very long book, it's a condensed book, and it's the correct length for persons who do not have the capacity to sit down and read a 200-page novel about bipolar disorder. I'm giving you something completely different, right? I'm giving you stories about, you know, how we can get better. I give you stories about, you know, the repeated exposure, how now I'm going to understand what it is that creates these levels. I give you information about what it is like to be bipolar, because I'm bipolar. My levels of emotion are they're beyond. Like one moment I'm happy, right? I'm having a good time, right? And then, say something, you know, something happens, and then I'm not so happy, or I'm going to go through days and feel like I'm getting really, really depressed, and you won't see me on my favorite activity, which would be Facebook, and I'm not interacting with people because those are my down periods, right? When I'm waiting for things to happen, right, most people, they're in a down period, I end up going to sleep almost because I'm sleeping the days away. Right, and that's what we do, is that, like, we have our rises, we have our falls, and to, I don't know, for myself, I accept my rise and my fall, because it's a natural order. We can't always be up, but we can't always be down. And when you acknowledge your condition, and you say, okay, now I'm going to take medication. Okay, medication, all it does is it's supposed to neutralize the chemical imbalance, right? And it goes and makes it so that your range of emotion doesn't get absurd, right? To go from being ecstatically happy to, like, downright, outright bawling, right? That's an absurd swing, right? So to be able to control that, and you're taking your medication, and then you're acknowledging yourself, you're going to get better, right? Like, I like a whole bunch of mental health pages, and I'm seeing these posts from these people, and they're depressed, and they hate themselves, and they want to die, and their relationship isn't any good, and they don't understand what's going on, and I'm reading these posts, and I'm like, that's me. I understand where you're coming from. And all I want to do is I want to post in my book, right? Because my life changed when I read all the self-help books in order to create this book for the rest of the world to say, okay, now let's get better together. Because it ain't no fun being alone.
No, and see, when you actually started expanding out of it and energizing your new way of life, how is it that you have to treat yourself on that little journey to expand out of it?
You have to forgive yourself. Like, literally, forgive yourself. One of the things that I found for myself and I talk about in the book is called the arm technique. And if you go at the base of your fingertips, right, and you're looking down, that's you being born, right? So you're going to start right there, and then you remember your past as you know, fragmented as it may be. But for every traumatic event that you had, right, so you start counting them off, right? And most people on average would have about 5. So you can take your level of emotion and times that by 5. When you acknowledge that, right, and every little instance that happened, every little, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that, right? Oh my gosh, really? Did that really go on? Oh my gosh, right? And you forgive yourself for those actions, you're going to get better, because it is because of the chemical imbalance that you have acted in such a way. Our thought patterns can be completely off, right? You can be thinking like the world hates you, and in fact, the world doesn't hate you. They're just busy doing their own thing, right? And it's that whole thought pattern. So when you forgive yourself for every little, you know, like you're feeling like, oh my gosh, my world is detrimented. Everybody hates me because I did this one little thing. You forgive yourself because of what you have. And you learn from that, saying, okay, let's not do that again, right?
Okay. Now, Terry, you said something there. When you hate yourself, you know, when you hate yourself, that just kind of winds the bipolar up more, doesn't it?
It sure does. You would not believe how many posts I see in the mental health on Facebook pages that I've liked of people hating themselves. They don't like themselves. They want this to stop. They don't want to be like this, you know, and they don't understand how to get better. And it's like, you know, we got to start somewhere, people. You know, like, I mean, I take a look at my past, right? Not the greatest things going on. I don't want to get into it, you know. Everybody's got it, right? But I forgave myself, right? And I don't know how many people, you know, who have what I have are able to forgive themselves. Yes, is probably the most crappiest thing in the whole entire world that you feel that has happened, but forgive yourself. It is because of what you have that it happened, right? And when you acknowledge it and you're taking your medication and you're going to interior health or going to counseling, seeing the psychologist, you're going to be 5 times better than you were before you started all this. Like the bipolar workshop is your launching point, right? You're going to, in a very bipolar disordered way of myself, I go and basically, I wouldn't say necessarily spew, but all the words are there, right? They're there. You're going to start to get better. And if you continue and move and expand yourself towards, you know, getting things under control, then in a way, you've won. You've beaten bipolar disorder. You might still have it. You might be medicated, but you've won because you're doing all the right things to make sure that you're on track.
And also, Terry, when you're going through this, you know, expanding out of where you started to where you choose to be, doesn't the world throw you more tests to keep you moving forward, to show you that you've gained, but yet they throw a test to see where you'll go back to for your own expansion?
One of the hardest things that I face when dealing or going out and socializing or being in the public is the fact that I've taken so much care, right, to make myself better, right? And then I see all these people and they're rampant in their emotions and they're up and down and all these kinds of things, and it's rather frustrating in a way, because I've had to get myself under control, right, because of my bipolar disorder. And it's like the rest of the world, it's like they don't have to get better, right? They don't think that there's anything wrong with them. There's nothing necessarily wrong with them. It's let's get ourselves under control.
Right? You know, you just said something that's very significant. This country and the world, the United States, Canada, every country, the world will not expand until we mature.
That's right. And the other, like another part of the bipolar workshop, which is on my list of like one of the most important things of the reasons why I wrote this, is because of the governments, right, of the United States, of Canada, they don't understand what it is like to be bipolar. They also, if you're applying for a disability tax credit, they have specific things that are checked off, but it's not relevant to mental illness. And if your doctor doesn't check off the right ones, then the government says, as they told me, that I'm not bipolar enough. Well, I am bipolar enough. They don't have the right forms, right? It should be, what do you have? And it's bipolar disorder, right? And then they have my little bipolar workshop handbook, and they look it up, and they go, and they have your little symptoms that you, you know, and they're looking at my book, and they're looking at the symptoms that are checked off, and, oh, hey, you are bipolar enough. Right? Because there are so many people who can't work in the normal workforce, like such as myself. Like, I've tried, you know, and putting up with people complaining about their personal lives, it's not my idea of a good time. It's created enough anxieties that I don't want to work anymore. I can't work. I don't make enough money where taxes are taken off. And so it's like, if I don't have a tax credit of some sort and other people who have what I have, then we're going to owe the government money.
Well, here's the thing, Terry, but aren't you working in a bigger and bolder way by teaching the world about bipolar?
Yes. Yep. What I've done is I would like to call myself the envelope pusher. I'm always pushing the envelope. I'm always creating change, always wanting change, not understanding why nobody else thought of this before, right? Like, with Amazon. Like, the reason my prices are as they are, which is, of course, this is an anxiety for me, is because I have priced my books, The Adventures of Charlie and Kaylee, at $21.85. I've priced I Am Who I Am at $19.85, and The Bipolar Workshop at $20.85, because when you operate out of the United States and you're not a citizen of the United States, you're supposed to fill out a form saying it's a non-resident employment insurance number just for the United States. Otherwise, they remit 30% to their government, to Canada. And because I didn't fill out the form, they're going to remit to me because I have anxieties about owing taxes. So my prices have to be that high in order to compensate for a 30% tax reduction. And that's automatically remitted. And if everybody thinks about being an author, you're self-employed, right? You have to pay taxes. And if you don't claim your taxes, or you go and claim your income at the end of the year and you haven't set aside, then you're going to owe taxes. So I set it up. I went and kind of pushed the envelope with Amazon and Create Space, saying, hey, I don't want this, because I'm being smart about it. Because if I sell any books, then there's the tax is already taken off, and maybe the government will owe me money.
Okay, the book is Bipolar Workshop by Terry Collison, and there's another book here, The Adventures of Charlie and Kaylee, and there's also the book I Am Who I Am. You can go to Terry's website, TLCTouchedWithFire.wordpress.com is her website. And you can scroll down halfway, and you can get all the books on Amazon, and you can get the Bipolar Workshop on Create Space, Amazon, an ebook on Amazon, or Facebook. But Terry, until we start looking in the mirror and dealing with ourselves and expanding ourselves such as you have, will the world ever move forward?
I think it'd be a very snail-like progression. If we can't accept and acknowledge ourselves and get ourselves better, it's going to be a snail-like progression. I know that in the United States, with all the mass murdering and how they're looking at changing the amendments, and the thing is that I hate to say it, but well, not really hate to say it, but Barack Obama suffers from the mental illness. He has the depression DNA, and to take away the Second Amendment is like that's a very typical bipolar response, right? It's all or nothing with bipolar. So unless the world acknowledges, it's going to be a snail-like progression. Unfortunately, there is me, and I always push the envelope. So my goal is to get into everybody's face and say, hey, it's time, people. I mean, this is past due. I mean, how many more people have to die senselessly because mental illness, DNA, chemically imbalanced people have their rage or is out of control, and they don't know what they're doing anymore. They are so angry. They just want to, like, hurt everything and everything.
And that's very true. I went to Florida, come back, and I landed in Seattle, and I was driving downtown. This is a very angry city. But, here we're blaming guns for the mental illness, and we're not willing to take responsibility. It's the people that's the challenge, wouldn't you say, Terry?
Guns don't shoot people. It's people pulling the trigger, right? Like, there's a big, big, big difference. Like, people just don't quite understand. I mean, up here in Canada, they don't like people who have the mental illness DNA having a purchase and acquisition license, okay? Because the government doesn't understand that, like, a person such as myself, I know the difference between right and wrong. And I'm going to tell you that, probably 99.89% of people know the difference between right and wrong. We do not go out and kill other people. It is when that rage and the chemically imbalanced persons with mental illness DNA, that's where the problem lies. And when we get those people under control, there shouldn't be any gun problems. the government shouldn't be, you know, taking away an amendment that was put there by the four founding fathers of your guys' country. You know, guns aren't the problem, it's the people. And there's too many people who suffer from the mental illness DNA, and they don't even know it, and they're just, like, let's put it this way, the world needs to be put straight.
That's for sure, right there. Terry, we've run out of time. We'll have you back again. It's Terry Carlson with the Bipolar Workshop, and she just enlightened you on the chemical imbalances that the world faces, and we all do it in some of our own form. And Terry, thank you very much, and I want to thank all the listeners for listening. But thank you, Terry, for being my guest.
Thank you. I wanted to do the magic code of bipolar. So if you write on my author Facebook page, Bipolar, I will send you a free copy of the Bipolar Workshop in paperback. Okay, so the magic word is bipolar.
Okay, you heard it. On Facebook, on your timeline, right?
Yep.
Okay, that is the deal. And also, we'll have Terry back here in a little while because Terry is touched on something that I've been talking about for 3 years, and that is the mental challenges. We're unwilling to take responsibility for a lot of things, such as Terry has. And I really want to thank Terry. And Terry, I'm going to say goodnight. And I really appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I look forward to coming back and being able to talk more about mental illness and mental health and how, for everybody, how we can all get better together. So.
Well, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take communication and listening. That's a scary thing in this world. Anyway, good night, and thank you. We'll be here Thursday night with Amy Ligner.
Awesome. Okay, you guys have a good one.
All right. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, listeners. Good night.
Good night.